is a world where witches rule the northern skies, where ice bears are the bravest of warriors, and where every human is joined with an animal spirit who is as close to them as their own heart.
Are we going to see the child?
I should think so.
But this world is dominated by the Magisterium, which seeks to control all humanity, and whose greatest threat is a golden compass and the one child destined to possess it.
Well, that, of course, is the trailer to the movie The Golden Compass. It debuted in theaters across the country last Friday. Boy, has there been some buzz about this fantasy movie. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Tonight we're going to talk about The Golden Compass with two guests, Tony Watkins, who's written about the trilogy, about the film, and interviewed the author, and Pastor Scott Stiegemeyer will join us a little bit later in the program as we review the Golden Compass film and talk about Philip Pullman, famous atheist, outspoken atheist, who has written this trilogy, his Dark Materials, upon which that film, and I imagine the studio's hope, two sequels, are based. Tonight we talk about The Golden Compass on Issues Etc. It's Sunday night, December the 9th. We want your questions and your comments on The Golden Compass movie and his Dark Materials trilogy. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Sorry, no email tonight. We got a little glitch in the system. We are giving away the book, Dark Matter, by Tony Watkins, our first guest tonight. 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Now, late last week, we had an opportunity to talk with Tony Watkins. He is a speaker, a trainer, and workshop leader for Damaris Trust, managing editor of a website called Culture Watch, and author of the book Dark Matter, Shedding Light on Philip Pullman's Trilogy, His Dark Materials. First up in our interview, I asked Tony, what stuck out most to him about his interview with Philip Pullman?
Well, actually, the thing that stands out most is it was a lot of fun. There was a real sense of intellectual kind of cuff and thrust of debating and exploring some big issues, and I think I enjoyed it, and I think he did as well. He was very gracious and jolly, but also when we got onto the subject of Christianity and faith, then there would be this real steel entering his soul, a sense of hostility not towards me but to the ideas that I was putting forward. And so it was that genialness and yet the resistance to the Christian message that really struck me.
What is Philip Pullman's basic problem with Christianity?
What he keeps saying is that it's really about how religion has been abused and misused over the centuries. He looks at the history of Christianity with a prejudiced view, it has to be said. He looks at certain features of Christian history, and he looks at some of the notable religious goings on around the world, particularly from fundamentalist Islam and the problems that has caused. And he says religion is a malign force. Religion has caused wars and suffering. Religion has given people authority and power which they've used to exploit others and to repress others. Religion is not a very attractive thing. So that he says is his major beef. He also says that he has seen no evidence of the existence of God, and that it just seems to him intellectually not coherent enough and not credible enough in order to believe. But it is that sense of religion's messed up big time that really seems to annoy him.
So is it religion in general or Christianity in particular that Philip Pullman is so concerned about?
It is religion in general, I think, but he has a particular focus on Christianity because of his upbringing. He says, I'm an atheist, and I'm a particular kind of atheist. I'm a Christian atheist because that's the understanding of God that I react against. Even more, you could say I'm a Church of England atheist because that's the tradition in which I was brought up as a child. So he does recognize that he particularly focuses on Christian faith because that's what he knows and understands and has most experience of. But it is religion more generally that he doesn't have time for.
And is Pullman open about what people perceive as his attempt to undermine Christian faith through the Dark Materials trilogy and I guess, popularly then through the film.
He's a little ambivalent on these things sometimes. That particular comment about I'm trying to undermine the basis of Christian faith was made quite a few years ago now, 5 or 6 years ago. And his other very famous comment, my books are about killing God, was made around a similar time, just a few months apart. And since then, he hasn't said anything quite as strong as that. And just in the last couple of days, I've begun to wonder why he doesn't come out with such strong comments anymore. He's much more likely now to say, I'm a storyteller, I'm just trying to tell a story, not preach a sermon or write a philosophical treatise. He often says, I'm trying to ask questions, which are the most fundamental questions in the universe. Is there a God or isn't there? What does it mean to be a human being? What's the purpose of life? He says these are religious questions. So there's a couple of possible explanations for that. One is that he's just learned to be rather more circumspect in what he says publicly, and he's just trying to sound a little bit more moderate. The other possible reason is that it's possible that he was saying those very strong comments 4 or 5 years ago when he was not very well known. He was only just beginning to get an international reputation, and they may have been comments designed to attract a certain degree of controversy, because controversy sells books. I'm not sure what the reason is.
When you interviewed him, what in particular about Christianity, what were the issues that bothered him most?
Well, one of the interesting things about the interview was that we spent the first 3/4 of an hour with him asking me questions, and I explained to him who I was. He couldn't quite remember. He said, oh, yes, all right, I've got a few questions I want to ask you. And he talked about an experience that he'd had of a church near where he lives in Oxford that had really not impressed him in many ways at all. And one of the key questions he'd asked then was about suffering, and another one about science and the Bible. So he grilled me on those at some length. He asked me about resurrection and evidence for Jesus and Jesus' claims to deity, and some other big issues like that. And I'm not sure to this day quite why he was asking those questions, whether it was, let's see what you're made of, you know, let's see if you've got some intellectually robust answers, or whether he was really genuinely wanting to know what my perspective was. I think it was the latter, actually. I think he really did want to know. So those kind of classic apologetics questions of how do we understand origins and how do we understand suffering and other religions, all those kinds of things are areas that he does have some big questions about in regards to the Christian faith.
Does Philip Pullman understand Orthodox Christianity, or is he constructing a straw man?
Well, that's a very good question. I think that Philip Pullman thinks he understands it very well, but I do think that he has constructed something of a straw man. I think his definition of religion is very, very narrow. When he's challenged, for instance, on the history of the Christian faith and some of the bad things that have happened, if somebody suggests to him that the atheist states and atheist regimes have done far worse things, Stalin, Pol Pot, and so on, then he says, yes, but those are really religious institutions. He says that Stalinism was religious in that it had a holy book. It had Marx's Das Kapital and various other writings of the early revolutionaries, and it had a priesthood, the Communist Party. He says it functioned in religious ways. Well, if that's how you're defining religion, if that's your understanding of what Christianity is, that it has a priesthood and a holy book, that's a very narrow understanding. That ignores huge areas of what it means to be religious in any religion, never mind just Christian faith. I don't think he really understands that Christian faith is about a relationship with a God. It's not simply about having a set of ideas about God that should help us live a better life, but it is actually a relationship built on historical realities. He does accept that Jesus was a historical figure, but he believes, like so many people do, that the New Testament accounts of Jesus were largely fabrications constructed by the early church. And it would be very interesting to see how he would respond to a really robust presentation of the evidence for the reliability of those documents.
We're talking to Tony Watkins. He has interviewed Philip Pullman, author of His Dark Materials, that trilogy of books upon which the first, The Golden Compass has made it to the big screen. We'll continue our interview with Tony after the break. Let's hear from you on the Golden Compass movie and his Dark Materials trilogy. Our call-in number tonight on Issues Etc. It's Sunday, December the 9th, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. No email tonight, just the phone calls. 1-800-730-2727. We're giving away Tony Watkins' book called Dark Matter, Shedding Light on Philip Pullman's Trilogy, His Dark Materials, to the best callers tonight. 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. On the other side of this break, we'll continue that interview with Tony Watkins, and then Pastor Scott Stiegelmeyer will join us as we review The Golden Compass tonight on Issues Etc. Pastor Matt Harrison, Executive Director of LCMS World Relief, on spreading mercy one person at a time.
We run into people all the time and literally all over the world who come up to us and say, you know, at just that moment when I was absolutely down and out, I had absolutely nothing else, your organization helped and made all the difference in my life. And I'll tell you what, we recently handed over 72 homes from Habitat in a partnership with Habitat for Humanity in Banda Aceh. And for those people who've been living in relief tents since the tsunami, those 72 families know the difference one family at a time. It makes a difference one person at a time. And I tell you what, that's what keeps me going in this business constantly.
Find out more about LCMS World Relief on our website, issuesetc.org, or by calling 888-930-4438.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You are listening to Issues Etc.
Dr. Dean Winthy, president of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider studying for the pastoral ministry.
It's the most beautiful and wonderful calling to expound the goodness and the grace of God in Christ, and to spread the good news of Christ's victory over death. You're carrying eternal good news and the life of Christ through His Word, His sacraments. And we welcome any who want to consider the ministry to visit our faculty in action, our worship, because you'll see there the word of a loving and present God who has bestowed all things in Christ.
For more information about Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, call them toll-free 1-800-481-2155 or visit our website, issuesetc.org. Next week on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss Christianity and Culture, Two Kingdom Theology. Dr. Angus Manoj of Concordia University, Wisconsin, will be our guest. Can a Christian vote for a non-Christian political candidate? What are the roles of government and the church? And does Scripture teach the separation of church and state? We'll talk about it next week on Issues Etc. Dr. Angus Manoj will be our guest. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing for the rest of 2007, just go to the upcoming shows section of our website. Click there, issuesetc.org. While you're there, you can find out more about an international relief agency that's concerned with both body and soul, LCMS World Relief. Look for their logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can make a year-end tax-deductible gift to any of their projects around the world. Call 1-888-930-4438, 1-888-930-4438, a Christ-centered, cross-focused relief agency, Pastor Matt Harrison, and LCMS World Relief. Now, late last week, we talked with Tony Watkins, who has interviewed Philip Pullman, author of his Dark Materials trilogy. Let's go back to the rest of our interview with Tony Watkins. Either in your interview with him or in your study of Philip Pullman as an author, have you discovered whether or not his atheism is born of a personal crisis or of a falter in faith due to some experience?
Again, it's another very good question. He says it's a purely intellectual thing that he came to as a teenager. You see, he had some very positive influences on him from a Christian perspective. His grandfather in particular, who he says is the single biggest influence on his life. His grandfather was a Church of England vicar. He says he was a very old-fashioned clergyman. I'm not quite sure what he means by that, whether he means a Victorian kind of clergyman, or it could mean all sorts of things. It could mean a clergyman who doesn't particularly believe what he preaches, given the state of the Church of England at some point in its history of the last century or so. It could mean that he kind of believed and was a very traditional, mainline kind of person. Hard to be sure, but he says he was the biggest influence. But the reason he was spent so much time with his grandfather, he was brought up by him for a few years, two or three, possibly even longer years. And the reason for that was that his father was killed in a plane crash in Kenya when Pullman was seven. His father was a fighter pilot with the RAF, and it was the time of the Mau Mau uprising in Kenya. And his father died as a war hero. Later on, he discovered that his death wasn't quite all that he'd been told at the time. But when he's asked about that, he says, it made no impact on me because he was stationed away a lot of the time. He was a very remote but glamorous figure. He said, my brother and I would have cried at the time, but I don't think it had much impact on me. But I have always felt, and still do feel today, that that's not quite enough, because it seems to me that even if his father was remote and glamorous, a seven-year-old child looks to their father as being the center around which life revolves, really, especially perhaps if he's remote and glamorous, longing to know him better. Interesting that one of the major characters in his Dark Materials, Will, is searching for his father for so much of the story. And I think that there may well be an emotional dimension to this that Pullman denies. When I suggested that to him, he denied it flatly. But that lingering suspicion won't quite go.
Even the casual observer of the trilogy that Pullman has penned and of the film that's been produced will notice there's a strong kind of mirror image of C.S. Lewis and his Chronicles of Narnia and even the film produced as a result of it. What does Pullman think of C.S. Lewis?
Pullman detests Lewis. Well, he doesn't detest all of Lewis. He says that Lewis was a very fine literary critic, but that his writings, his fictional writings, he says are detestable. He finds them loathsome. He's very outspoken. When I interviewed him, he said I was not to talk about Lewis, but then he brought Lewis up himself. And he really has no time for him at all. He doesn't understand the way that Lewis's worldview has shaped what he writes. He sees it as simple propaganda and doesn't like it for that reason. But, of course, it's much deeper than that in what Lewis was doing. Pullman takes exception, for instance, to the train crash at the end of the last battle that takes the children to Narnia. And Susan doesn't go at that point because, Lewis tells us, she was too fond of lipstick and nylons. Well, Pullman looks at that and he says, what's the problem with Lewis? Why doesn't he want Susan to grow up? All this girl is doing is growing up, and Lewis damns her to hell because she's growing up. Of course, I think that's a complete misunderstanding. Lewis is writing at a different age. He's using a shorthand way of saying that Susan had become very worldly and lost her faith in Narnia. He also says that she was not going to Narnia then, but she may well come later on. So she wasn't being damned for growing up. She was becoming worldly, losing her faith. The train crash that takes the children into Narnia is not a terrible end to these children's lives, as Pullman sees it. But Pullman does see it that way because for him there is no elsewhere. There is no other dimension. There is no heaven. But for Lewis, of course, heaven was the ultimate reality. So for these children, they were being taken out of a lesser world into a greater world. For them, it really was a wonderful thing. But Pullman seems to be unable to look at it from Lewis's worldview perspective, and yet requires other people to do the same of his trilogy.
Tony Watkins is a speaker, trainer, and workshop leader for Damaris Trust, managing editor of a website called Culture Watch, and he's author of the book we're giving away tonight as we talk about The Golden Compass, Dark Matter, Shedding Light on Philip Pullman's Trilogy, His Dark Materials. For the remainder of tonight's show, we're going to talk with Pastor Scott Stiegelmeyer. Scott is director of admissions at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, and he's author of Questions and Answers About Philip Pullman's The Golden Compass. Scott, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
Well, you saw the film. I'm doing well. You saw the film earlier.
Yeah.
What did you think of it?
Yeah, we went out to we braved the freezing rain and ice and went and saw the movie today as a family. And I was disappointed, to be honest with you. I was hoping for at least a thrilling romp in the theater, but it was I would give it a B minus or C plus, even just from that perspective. From the perspective of the religious controversy that we've all been talking about, it's there, but it's subtle, except for at one or two points where it is rather clear that this is the beginnings of an attack against the Christian church and against God.
So with only 30 seconds, is it an example film-wise, not in terms of its content so much, but film-wise, where the trailers have oversold the production values and the zip-zang pow of the movie?
I think if you've seen the trailers, you've already seen the best parts.
Scott Stiegemeyer is our guest. We're talking about The Golden Compass and the book trilogy, His Dark Materials by Philip Pullman, tonight on Issues Etc. You can join us, 1-800-730-2727. It's Sunday night, December the 9th. 1-800-730-2727. You can read articles and several other resources on The Golden Compass and His Dark Materials trilogy under the What's New section of our website. It's issuesetc.org. Click What's New. You'll find these resources, issuesetc.org. Our call-in number tonight as we look at The Golden Compass, this film that has caused so much of a stir before it ever even hit the theaters, and now that it has, will it be as bad as people think it's going to be? Will it be better? Will it make the case that Philip Pullman seems to want to make, and that is that Christian belief is oppressive and that he wants to undermine it? 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Did you see the movie? That's what I know from you. If you saw it, I want to know what you thought about it as well. Pastor Scott Stiegemeyer is our guest, Director of Admissions at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of Questions and Answers about Philip Pullman's The Golden Compass. One thing that Scott has said, we'll get his explanation on the other side of this break. He said sometimes movies are just movies, but movies can be more than just movies. We all know the power of storytelling, of a compelling movie and then compellingly presented. Some people have seen Philip Pullman's Golden Compass as a shot across the bow to Christianity, atheists finally getting their message, their polemic against Christianity on the big screen and in those three books, His Dark Materials. If you've seen the film or read the books, I want to hear from you. 1-800-730-2727. During the rise of Nazism, did Lutherans respond passively to Adolf Hitler and the Third Reich? Our Issues Etc. book of the month for December is titled Lutherans Against Hitler, The Untold Story. You can read an excerpt at our website, issuesetc.org, or find out more about Lutherans Against Hitler by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Lutherans Against Hitler by Dr. Lowell Green, the Issues Etc. book of the month.
Why not send a high school age man from your congregation to Taste of the Sim, January 19th through the 21st, on the campus of Concordia Seminary, St. Louis? Taste of the Sim gives high school men the opportunity to experience seminary life. For more information on Taste of the Sim, January 19th through the 21st, at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, visit the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org. Or call 1-800-822-9545.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. has its supporters.
I just want to say that I really like your show. It's really helped me. I'm currently in my preparation to enter Concordia Seminary, and this show, I think, has really helped me with my progress. So I just want to say thanks and keep it up.
We also have our share of detractors.
This message that you're sending out is not the message that God wants the people to hear. You don't have a clue as to what he wants. You are all sinners, and you shall rot for eternity for this. You people are insane. Just burn in hell.
That's exactly why we have the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 314-505-7825. Agree or disagree with something you've heard? Call the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 314-505-7825. The Issues Etc. listener comment line, available for your comments, positive and negative, 24/7, 314-505-7825.
Noted author and history professor Dr. Paul Meyer on the uniqueness of Issues Etc.
I'm delighted not only to listen to Issues Etc., but also to have the privilege of being on the program from time to time. Issues is never afraid to take a stand on the thorny, vexing issues that clutter our daily horizons, and it does so in the name of a solidly based Christianity that doesn't flirt with fads or fantasies. Whereas some Christian programs sidestep ethical and doctrinal questions in our day, Issues takes them head-on in a fearless, responsible, thoughtful manner. Both head and heart are involved when Issues applies Holy Scripture.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line at 1-800-737-0172.
As we approach the end of 2007, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. This worldwide outreach is listener-supported. We're not affiliated with the Lutheran Hour or the Lutheran Layman's League. You can donate by credit card, our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. By check, write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, or donate online at our website, issuesetc.org. Now, anyone who contributes $50 or more to Issues Etc. before the end of the year will receive a CD of a Christmas sermon I preached titled When the Time Had Fully Come. 1-800-737-0172, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, or issuesetc.org. This is Todd Wilkin. Thanks for your support this year. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Scott Stiegelmeyer, author of Questions and Answers about Philip Pullman's The Golden Compass, is our guest as we talk about The Golden Compass tonight on the program. Scott, you said that when you watched the film, there were some obvious elements that seemed to be a polemic or a criticism directed at Christianity or the church. What were they?
Right. Well, there's one notable scene toward the second half of the movie somewhere where Nicole Kidman's character, she plays Mrs. Coulter, who is this glamorous woman that comes into the life of Lyra, the main character, whom it's unclear as to what Mrs. Coulter's motives are all along, but you begin to kind of understand that she's a bad guy, to put it simply. And she makes an allusion in the film, which is faithful to the book, about how our first parents made a mistake a long time ago and brought all sorts of suffering and misery into the world and made the authority, which is Philip Pullman's word for God in these books, made the authority unhappy with us. And especially if you know the trilogy, because in the third book in particular, I don't know if I should give away too many plot elements for people who might really be dying to read the books, but Lyra, the character, the female character who's about 11 years old, at the end of the third book becomes sort of a new Eve. And it's not implicit. It's rather explicit and kind of he waxes very philosophical and gets away from the narrative. But Lyra and her male counterpart, this boy named Will, became sort of a new Adam and Eve and sort of parent, not literally parent, but become sort of the head of a new creation. And this is after God is destroyed and so on and so forth. So there's a little bit of foreshadowing towards the last battle at which God is defeated.
For those who haven't read the trilogy, His Dark Materials by Philip Pullman, what are the books essentially about? Just paint the broadest picture for us.
Yeah. Well, it's a complex fantasy story, and like a lot of these types of tales go, there are lots of different unusual characters. There's magic, there are witches, there are talking animals and strange races and spirits and all sorts of unusual words like alethiometer and the names of strange countries that sound, or people groups that sound very similar to ours. And so, I mean, there's a lot of lingo and jargon, and you're kind of nerdy, you know, if you sit around and talk with your friends about, like we did with our, you know, about Star Wars or something. And well, there's you can do that with these three books as well, because there's just a lot there. So it's very difficult to kind of summarize. But just the basic sweep of the story is that God and the church are the bad guys, and they are all about suppressing and controlling human life and limiting human ingenuity. And then the good guys are the free thinkers and the scientific type folks who really, literally wage war against God and his little cadre of angels that are faithful to him, and the church, which is just this evil organization, thoroughly 100% evil organization. It's called the church in the books. I mean, he's not using in the movies. They use the word magisterium, which is also in the books, but they avoid the word church altogether in the movies, I think wisely. But in the books, he's not so careful, and he uses the word church. He uses the word priest and pope. So just, I mean, if I had to sum it up in one or two sentences, which I'm finding difficult to do, it's God is a very controlling being. He's not at all the God of Christianity and of the Bible, but God is almost a senile, old, evil, sadistic being, and the heroes are those who want to wage war against him and do so.
Is there any reference in the books to really the whole point of Christianity from a proper perspective, which is the salvation of sinners through the person and work of the Savior, Jesus Christ? Does he ever address, Pullman, in the trilogy, the heart and center of the Christian faith and make an attack on that?
Well, no. To my knowledge, I've read the books, but it's been a little bit of time since I've read the last two. I read the Golden Compass again most recently in preparation for this movie, but as I kind of skimmed through them again, and in my own memory, he doesn't. And that's what I think is one of the most striking things about it all, is that he's talking about this organization called the church, which has some of the trappings that make it look like the Christian church, that people go to services and they have prayers and they have breviaries. And I mean, a lot of the lingo is there. And so there may be some tiny reference here or there about the Savior, but I can't say for certain that there's no reference. But he doesn't take any sort of serious attempt to address the claims of Christ. He doesn't do that. That's not really part of his agenda, which I think is really striking, a striking omission.
Scott, someone says, look, I got an email 2 months ago on this from a trusted fellow Christian or from a trusted Christian organization. It said, Golden Compass written by atheist, a guy has an axe to grind against the Christian church and against Christianity. Don't go see it, don't read the books. Well, that's enough for me. How do you respond?
Well, I would respect that. I think if I were in a different position in life, I might very well take that advice. But as a father of a preteen, my son, he reads different kinds of adventure books. He hasn't read the Philip Pullman books. He goes to a Lutheran school, so he hasn't been introduced to them there. But I've talked to people in their 20s, some of the current seminary students here, who are in their mid-20s, who've told me that they read these books when they were in eighth or ninth grade in school, in public schools. These were given to them to read. So I think that for a Christian adult, particularly a pastor or a parent, to simply say, well, you know, I don't want to put money in the pocket of an atheist, and so I'm not going to read the books or see the movies, I'm not sure that's responsible. I don't know that everybody has to read the books necessarily, but we have to be informed in order to be good and responsible stewards of the children that are put into our care, because these books are, in the movies, are primarily marketed towards young adults and children.
I'll come back to that in just a moment. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Ken is listening in Orlando. Hi, Ken, and thanks for waiting.
Hey, Pastor, how are you?
Very well.
I had a question. What would you counsel a Christian artist or filmmaker who had the opportunity to work on something like The Golden Compass? Would you encourage them to stay within their vocation and try to witness while working on something like that, or not work on it at all and try to avoid any film or story that might have anti-Christian elements?
Great question, Ken. Thank you. Scott?
Yeah, that is a very good question. And, you know, I don't know where your pastor would come down on this if you were to talk to your pastor and kind of what counsel he would give for this. My own take on this, as a parent, as a pastor, and as a Christian, is that we do have liberty as Christians. I don't think it's necessarily a sin for film editor to work on bits of celluloid or digital data that comes across his table. Nonetheless, I think it would be up to each person's conscience to kind of evaluate what is the agenda of these films or these artworks. Apparently, and I didn't know this until recently, apparently Nicole Kidman identifies herself as a Roman Catholic. I don't know if she attends Mass or I don't know how serious she is. But this was in a magazine that I had read where she had said something to the effect that the Roman Catholic Church is central to her being and she would never want to be a part of a project that would attack or undermine the Roman Catholic Church. And she was referring to this film. Someone had asked her about it. And so I would think that if I were a Christian, I mean, the movie is particularly harsh, I think, against Rome, but it offends all Christians, I think. I would have a difficult time acting in the film, you know, or directing the film. I believe that I would say no to those things.
Before we go to our break, in a kind of an outline form, if you would, Scott, someone says, look, Christians just shouldn't be reading or taking part in works of literature or art by unbelievers with a minute and a half and no more. How would you respond to that?
Well, I disagree vehemently. I think that the arts are part of what makes it wonderful to be a human being, and I don't think that being a Christian means that you're a good writer or a good poet or a good painter necessarily, or that you have a sense of beauty. And I don't think that being an unbeliever means that you don't have any of those things. You may still have very, very good insights and be able to put words together creatively and with craft. I think God, in his creative work, has given to all human beings certain skills and imagination, and this should be delighted in and rejoiced in. And, you know, not to say that we should be accepting of every single thing that's done in the name of art. We must be discerning consumers. But I would not eliminate, and I think the Christian history, the Christian historical figures would agree with me on this, that we wouldn't eliminate the great works of art that have come out of non-Christians just simply for that fact alone.
Folks, the movie The Golden Compass debuted Friday, and we're responding to it Sunday night. Now, if you appreciate the immediacy of this worldwide outreach of issues, etc., consider making a year-end tax-deductible donation. No gift is too small. For a gift of $50 or more before the end of this year, we'll send you a copy of one of my Christmas sermons. Now, you can donate online, our website address, issuesetc.org, by calling our automated resource line. The number is 1-800-737-0172, or you can donate by check. Just write us, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. And thanks for keeping us in mind as we approach the end of 2007. We're reviewing The Golden Compass and the book trilogy, His Dark Materials, by Philip Pullman. Pastor Scott Stiegelmeyer is our guest, director of admissions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of Questions and Answers about Philip Pullman's The Golden Compass.
When the fullness of time had come, a Christmas sermon preached by Todd Wilkin.
The most important event in your life didn't even happen in your lifetime. It happened 2,000 years ago, Jesus' perfect death for sinners at the cross.
And we'll send you a CD of this Christmas sermon for a tax-deductible year-end gift of $50 or more to Issues Etc. Donate today, issuesetc.org, or 1-800-737-0172. Thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. as we approach the end of 2007.
Join Issues Etc. as we broadcast live from the annual symposia at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. It's January 15th through the 18th. For a complete list of speakers, symposia schedule, or to register online, check out the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org, or call 260-452-2241. It's the Symposia, January 15th through the 18th, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Martin Luther once called the doctrine of justification the doctrine by which the church stands or falls. What is the central nature of this teaching, and why is it so important? Here's Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas.
Paul articulates for us more clearly than anywhere else in Scripture that great biblical doctrine of justification, that as the sinner stands before the righteous judge, he is declared to be not guilty because of that which Christ has done for us. When God the judge looks on us, he sees not our sins, not our failures and our flaws, but the pure white robe of Christ's righteousness. And we are declared to be justified, not guilty, because of that which Christ has done for us.
Issues, Etc., the radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the Golden Compass tonight on the program. Scott Stiegemeyer is our guest. Scott, you're director of admission at Concordia Theological Seminary. Why should a man consider the vocation of pastor?
Well, I think that the topic at hand is a good example of why we need men to consider this vocation and women to consider service in the church as deaconesses. And that's because the enemy is sowing seeds of deception, and there are people, so many people, who do not know the gospel. So there's this tremendous mission imperative that we have to make disciples of all nations. And if anybody has thought about this very long, if a Christian thinks about that very long and doesn't feel some sort of desire to participate, there's something amiss. But in addition to the great mission imperative, there's also the tremendous need for shepherds of our flocks. We need faithful men who are not afraid to work hard and to study hard and to apply the Word of God to people's lives. And it's a very rewarding career. It's not a career in the sense of self-seeking sort of advancement, but it is a very rewarding and wonderful way to spend one's life. It's not without suffering. Our Lord didn't promise us all an easy path, but it is tremendously gratifying to be able to explain the message of free salvation to people, and sometimes for the very first time they've ever heard that.
To find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry, you can check out our homepage, issuesetc.org. You can find out more about Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, and Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, preparing Christ-centered, cross-focused pastors for the 21st century, Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, and Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. We still have time for your phone calls on the Golden Compass movie, 1-800-730-2727. Our email is down tonight, but give us a call, 1-800-730-2727. Well, you kind of mentioned that we got a bit of a straw man going here in Philip Pullman's depiction of the church and Christianity, that the film, at least from your perspective, doesn't exactly pull off the promise that seemed to be laid before of being a big blockbuster that will grip people and get the message across.
Right.
So how effective a polemic against Christianity does the Golden Compass end up being?
Well, I guess that's going to be a bit of a debatable question. I kind of keep qualifying my answers because I know that I might disagree with some of your very respectable listeners. I'm not particularly upset or worried about Philip Pullman's effect. I've read the books, and I've seen the first movie. If they make any others, I've seen this movie. And while I think it is a serious matter whenever anyone begins to say false things about God and His church, that is a very serious matter. As a pastor, I'm very concerned about what effects this might have. Nonetheless, I think if anybody really is reading it, if a believer is reading these novels, he's so over the top with it. I mean, I think he comes across so strongly and at times deviates away from the story for really great lengths of time to expound on theological opinion. I think that it's not very persuasive. It's not very convincing. My own view is that most people are going to read the book more shored up in their views that they already had. The believers are going to be offended, and the unbelievers are going to be thrilled that you know, think that he really socked it to us. But he doesn't offer any serious critique. It's just this name. It's sort of like just name calling, which is why I think it's a bit immature of it, if it's an attempt to truly undermine and truly persuade people towards agnosticism or atheism. I doubt if that's going to happen. The movies, this first one that's out, I'm a little bit surprised. I did a little looking on the internet, and it's not doing well. This has been a terrible box office for them.
Here's Jeff in McKinney, Texas. Jeff, thank you for waiting, and welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Reverend Scott, I am a teacher at a Christian high school, and I've had to field some questions on this, and I wanted to run something past you that I told my kids last week. I said that while it is, like you said, it's something you want to be concerned about, that actually there's a good side to this, that instead of the Christian subculture chasing its tail to imitate something secular, that finally we have something out there that they have to imitate, and that if nothing else, maybe we could take a little bit of satisfaction from that.
That's very interesting, Jeff, and thanks for listening in, McKinney. What do you think, Pastor Stegemeyer?
Well, I think that's a very good point. I kind of like your spirit there, Jeff. I think that that some Christians are becoming so lathered up over this. I don't think that this is another issue like The Last Temptation of Christ. I don't think this is another Da Vinci Code. I had a very different sort of response myself to the Da Vinci Code, because there he was really trying to make Dan Brown detailed, explicit attacks on the person and work of Jesus Christ. And people were reading that and being and believing it and being led into doubt. And I had parishioners who were struggling with that. Now, in this case, I don't necessarily think that's going to happen. I could be wrong. I could be very wrong there. But I think it's, you know, to a certain extent, we can almost laugh at the anemic character of his attempt. Now, Philip Pullman is a gifted man, and he's an intellectual man and a very, very brilliant man. But this is a pretty pathetic attempt to try to undermine Christianity if, as he has said before, that is really his intention.
What do you say to someone who says, you know, this is just the latest and perhaps the, maybe not the best attempt, but just the latest attempt of the culture and of Hollywood and of people of letters and people in literature to undermine the Christian faith. This is Christian persecution. This is something that we really do need to be alarmed about. The sky is falling.
Well, I would say that's an overreaction. There are plenty of things for us to become very agitated over. There is enough for us to wring our hands about, and I mean legitimately so. Not the sky is falling kind of panicky mode. I don't think that's ever appropriate for a Christian. But I think that there are far more serious issues. Yes, in a certain sense, that's right. This is another attempt. But I actually find it very interesting. It seems to me that and I've read a number of articles in People Magazine and Entertainment Weekly and the New York Times and New York Post. I've been reading these reviews and articles for months about this movie. And they constantly, the movie filmmakers constantly are talking about how much they're trying not to offend. I think that they are bending over backwards, actually, to try not to alienate that Christian market. Because they're, you know, the New Line Cinema folks are really just interested in making a really successful movie, and they know that American audiences are not going, and they're not flocking to a film that has controversy surrounding it, you know, of this nature. So, I can respect someone who thinks that you know, we shouldn't touch this with a 10-foot pole. But I think that in some ways it might even be to the devil's advantage if he's distracting us with these, what I consider sort of a minor blip, and perhaps can weaken our witness against even more serious issues.
Here's our mailing address, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Our resource line number is 1-800-737-0172. Our website address, issuesetc.org. You can use any of those to receive a free copy of the next Issues Etc. journal or to make a year-end tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. Remember, any size gift is deeply appreciated. For a year-end gift of $50 or more, we'll send you a CD of a Christmas sermon I preached titled When the Fullness of Time Had Come, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, 1-800-737-0172, or issuesetc.org. Ken and Jeff, please call us back. We'll send you a copy of the book called Dark Matter. Alarm really never does become the church. Look at those Christians who suffered genuine persecution long through the history of the Christian church. Not only was their faith under attack, but they were personally under attack, sometimes giving their lives to confess Jesus Christ clearly to the world. Alarm did not mark their reaction to such things. But what? A clear, bold, brave confession of Jesus Christ, who is the heart and center of the Christian faith, who is the Lord of his church, without whom there is no use in going to church on Sunday morning. A bold, clear confession of what Christianity truly, really is. It is, in fact, nothing other than the life of the crucified and risen Savior, Jesus Christ, being lived out through his word in his people, the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Let the world mischaracterize the church. Let the world misunderstand. Let the world, do we expect them to get it? Let the world not get it. We confess Christ, crucified for a sinful world and risen from the dead, and our salvation. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.